Meeting of the Planning and Zoning Board of the City of Winter Park for September 7th, 2021 shall come to order. Let me begin by stating that the purpose of the Planning and Zoning Board is to review and make a recommendation on conditional uses, subdivisions, comprehensive plan amendments, land development code amendments, rezoning, and other ordinance affecting the development of property, and to make final decisions on applications for lakefront home approval. Any decision regarding lakefront homes under City Code Section 58-87 is under the purview of this board, and the board's vote is a final decision that will not be heard by the City Commission. The City Commission will consider the board's recommendations made tonight on other public hearing items on Wednesday, September 22nd, 2021 at 3:30 p.m. or soon thereafter as may be heard, and the City Commission will make the final decision on such matters. You are encouraged to keep apprised on the status of such matters going before the City Commission by reviewing the City's website and upcoming City Commission meeting agendas. The meeting will proceed as follows. The chair staff will announce each public hearing item as it appears on the agenda, which is available outside the front door. Staff will begin by making a presentation on each item and will provide the staff's recommendation. Next, we will hear from the applicant. After that, the floor will be open to the public for anyone who wishes to speak in support of or in opposition to the request. After public comment, the applicant will be given an opportunity to respond to the public comments. Please approach the podium and state your name and address for the record. With the exception of ordinances proposing comprehensive plan amendments and land development code amendments, the public hearing matters coming before the board are mostly quasi-judicial in nature. For quasi-judicial matters, the board considers the testimony and evidence in the record at the hearing and determines whether the applicable criteria for approval has been met. The testimony that you give to the board should be fully truthful in the same manner as if you were giving sworn testimony in a court of law. In the interest of time, we ask that each person appearing before the board limit their comments to one appearance of 3 minutes. Large groups are asked to name a spokesperson. We ask that your testimony be relevant to the public hearing matter to which you are speaking and avoid repeating arguments and testimony made by yourself or others. Order and decorum will be preserved at all times. Please address all your comments to the board and not to the audience. After all public input, the public comment period will be closed. The board members will then discuss and we will vote on a recommendation to the City Commission with any conditions that may be appropriate. Please turn off or silence all mobile devices during these public hearings. The first item of business is the approval of the August 3rd, 2021 meeting minutes.
Ms. Sarkisian? Mr. Fitch? The approval of the minutes?
We need a motion and a second on that.
We had that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not hear that.
You had a motion?
A good reminder to make sure everyone pushes the button to where it is red.
Yeah. If it's blue, you're muted. Okay, I think I heard a motion.
I can make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay. Okay. Now we're going to do the roll call.
Yes. Ms. Sarkisian? Yes. Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers-Thomas?
Yes.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, we are going to postpone until the next meeting. So we'll move on to staff updates.
Nothing new to report. I was actually at the APA, American Planning Association, state conference last week in Miami. Found out I never want to move to Miami, and we were it was a good opportunity to hear some sessions and also to do some little recruiting for our vacant planner three position that hopefully we can fill soon. So other than that, we have a budget coming soon, and there's a lot going on with the city commission. So if you ever have any specific questions, be happy to answer for you.
Thank you. Are there any citizen comments for items that are not on the agenda?
We have no one online registered to speak, sir.
That's good. Okay. Any action items that we haven't accomplished? Boy, we're just clocking right through this thing. Okay. Our first public hearing, subdivision 2106.
Yes, our first item action for you is a request of Ron Scarpa for subdivision or lot split approval to divide the property at 1832 Pine View Circle.
Jeff, can we make sure your mic is on?
There we go. Okay. Sorry about that. This first item is subdivision lot split, 1832 Pine View. It's property zoned R1A to divide it into two single family building lots. And there are some variances that are involved. This is a picture of the location of the lot. You see, it's in essence a double lot there at the far eastern end of the subdivision that is more or less across the street from Palmer and Winter Park YMCA, dead end neighborhood. And this is a picture of the existing house that is on the property, which is probably to a large degree why we got delivered today 29 letters that I'll pass down from neighbors who have signed in favor of this request and the granting of the variances, as well as in your packet, we did get a letter of approval and consent from the president of the Voluntary Homeowners Association in the neighborhood. But what is involved in your consideration, as with always, is does this request meet the zoning rules? And in R1A, you were supposed to have 75 feet of lot width and 8,500 square feet of lot area. They do good in terms of lot area. They have just over 9,9100 square feet of lot area, but dividing this in half creates basically 261-foot lots in lieu of the 75 feet that the R1A requires. So there is a variance that needs to be approved as part of any approval of this item. And what we do is we use this overhead map. How does this compare to the surrounding neighborhood in terms of compatibility? And if you look at the statistics, it compares well and it doesn't compare well. With respect to lot area, these 9,100 square foot lots fall right in between the 8,300 median and the 10,001 average lot size in that area. So in terms of lot area and the size of homes that they would produce, they're basically just about the same as all the rest of the properties in the neighborhood. But as I mentioned, they are narrower, 61 feet versus what is the average in this little neighborhood of about 70 feet. They're a little deeper, that's why they get to the lot area. But as we often see in these lot split requests, it comes down to a different area of compatibility, and that is what could these two lots or this property as one produce in terms of a house size. And so if it stays together, you can build under our floor area ratio about a 7,000 square foot house. and then obviously divided equally in half, you can build two 3,500 square foot homes. And so many times the board and the neighbors have felt that two smaller homes, 3,500, more comparable to what's in the neighborhood, are more compatible than a larger 7,000 square foot home. And that would definitely appear to be the case in this neighborhood. You do have in your packet some generalized plans that the applicant has provided with what the homes will look like in terms of perspective elevations on the screen above, in terms of the site plan layout of the homes. And as you recall, talking about this in the past, they do not get extra floor area ratio by splitting. They're still capped at the same floor area ratio as the overall total parcel. And they even have an isometric drawing that they have provided to give us sort of a bird's eye view of what would be approved. I have mentioned to the board in the past on these lot splits that the planning department is supposed to be the experts. And so our attorney's advice is if we're recommending approval of variances, it'd be very hard to defend a lawsuit when, quote, the expert says they're deserving of the variance. So the guidance is always to recommend denial, but certainly what's been presented to you is sufficient rationale for an approval in terms of the request being comparable to the lot areas in the neighborhood. And obviously what you have seen in terms of the neighborhood support that's been produced as evidence, as well as the compatibility of the house size to what is in the area. So certainly there are criteria and evidence that you've been provided that could support a finding of approval in this case. So with that, I'll see if staff has any questions that you might have for us.
Jeff, the original plat that I see in the package, so this was originally two lots, is that correct?
Yeah, well, a short a couple of feet, but yeah, more or less, yeah. You see the little dotted line at the top, they're short a couple of feet on that lot, but it is almost in essence the original two platted lots.
Are there any variances requested for setbacks or?
No, none for the homes themselves. The homes are going to meet all of the regular single family setbacks, building height, pervious coverage, all those. They're not getting any and they're not asking for any variances.
And the lot just to the north is substandard, right? I think I saw it was 60 feet.
Yeah.
Lot 25.
There's only a few that are exactly the same and they happen to be the ones that are closest to this property. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Does the applicant wish to speak?
I see the applicant. So.
Oh. Then we'll move on to public comment. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak on this application?
Dr. James, we have no one registered to speak online unless there's someone in the audience.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, please.
My name is Chuck Valance with Valance Realty Group. I'm the broker that's representing the seller on this property.
Oh.
Is it okay for me to say a couple words? Okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say in absence of Mr. Scarpa and his agent, as was previously stated, the neighbors are heavily bought into the ideal of improving the neighborhood. And then was pointed out on the plat, it's my experience that the majority of the properties in there, I don't think any of them save a corner lot are actually 75 feet. Majority seem to be in that 63 to 66 foot range. This is not far off. Any questions for me?
Anybody have questions for the fill-in applicant? Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Now, are there any public comments?
No one registered to speak.
All right, board.
From what I think was presented, I think it's increasing compatibility with the neighborhood by splitting and getting closer to lot width. Obviously, it's taking a larger lot and making it smaller, but at about 120 feet as it is today, I don't think it's very consistent. So as long as the neighbors don't have an issue with it, seems like that circle is roughly in this foot range. They're not asking for variances for setbacks. And I don't see too many issues with this.
Jim.
I want to commend the developer for putting in side entry garages, and I think this will be a positive addition to the neighborhood.
I'll just say for the record, I'm not a big proponent of, you know, going against the code minimum lot size, but because this is a deeper lot and it kind of falls into the square footage of the lot size allowed, and it kind of fits with what the original plat is, it kind of lends itself to be a little more compatible and acceptable. So I think it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not wild over the slightly smaller lot size, higher density, but it does fit. And, you know, the neighbors via the form letter route have, at least half the neighbors have consented. It appears to me in a quick count, there's 58 properties in here and we have 29 letters. So we could assume 29 people are dead set against it. But we have no proof of that. So with that, we will end discussion. And Kim, if you would, oh, wait, we need a motion. Who feels up to?
I'll do it. I move that we approve sub number 2106, requests of Ron Scarpa for subdivision approval to split the property at 1832 Pineview Circle, zoned R1A, into two single family building lots.
There a second?
I can second.
Now, Kim, if you could call the roll.
Yes, sir. Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers-Thomas?
Yes.
Mr. Sarkisian?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Now we'll move on to the main event. Front, are you ready?
A little time looking at this.
Yeah.
Good evening, Chair and members of the board. It is my pleasure to present the next item, maybe, yes, which is the required public hearing in front of the local planning agency, which is yourselves, the Planning and Zoning Board, here on September 7th of 2021. We have had notice in the homes of all the property owners within city limits for more than 30 days. And the notice stated the dates of the hearing in front of yourselves and the hearing in front of the city commission. And the exciting topic is the Orange Avenue overlay, the OAO. It's been a, I think we're coming up on close to 3 years that it's been under discussion. So we are certainly happy to be at this point where we can take this hopefully to the commission and send it off to Tallahassee and get back some positive news from all those organizations and then have a final Orange Avenue overlay. Like to thank everyone who's been a part of it, yourselves, former members of the Planning and Zoning Board, our city attorneys, our city commission, our current and former members, of staff have put in countless hours. There's been a lot of people in the community who have been a part of this as well. So just want to thank everyone for their tenacity in getting through to the final product of this. So the first one, you know, why are we here? Well, the intent was to create place on Orange Avenue. We saw it as an opportunity of a place that was had a lot of traffic, but it also had some of the bones of creating that next great place in Winter Park. Also needed to solve the issues that have led to over a decade of economic stagnation. We really dove into the process and the understanding of why this area has, you know, where you have real estate in Winter Park and why parts of it have remained a little stagnant. There are some fantastic parts of it that have been able to do great things, but those are unique circumstances when those people have land for parking and for stormwater infiltration and that sort of thing. The protection and creation of redevelopment opportunities for small businesses. And really this was, we identified early on, we wanted to utilize the potential development of the larger properties or the larger property collectives and kind of piggyback off of their investment. Their investment that had to be earned, and what they could earn did good for the area, the small businesses of the area, and for the city as a whole, for the whole community. It's not just a variance. It's not just an ask. We want something. It's, we have a proposal and we've earned our way to this potentially higher number by doing some things that are going to be beneficial to the area and the city as a whole. And also our comp plan says we should do this. Comp plan says within a year, we're a little behind, but within a year from the adoption of the comp plan, city will create a mixed use overlay or district for commercially designated parcels that would be intended to facilitate design and use flexibility to achieve pedestrian scale, innovative transit connectivity, and maximizing open space within a commercially viable and architecturally desirable design. There is a couple different corridors that this would apply to, but the decision was made before I got here that Orange Avenue was, no pun intended, the low-hanging fruit, where this was an opportunity. So we are doing what we said we would do. An extensive public process, extensive study. You all know you've spent a good amount of time. We have a city commission who has spent in a huge amount of time, our city attorneys, myself, and a former staff member, I would say have each put in well over 5,000 hours on this topic here. Dozens and dozens of work sessions, meetings, public hearings, opportunities for public input. We had to get creative during COVID and have virtual charrettes and put out a lot of different opportunities for people to be able to give public input. We did workshops. We did a lot of things that we're very proud of that led to people being, who wanted to be involved, being educated about the process and helping to understand how and why this area has not developed and has not grown. We had a fantastic steering committee. And as you are all aware, the bones of the document in front of you, this was not something that was written by staff. This was something that was came out of the work of the steering committee and then was guided by public input and by input from our boards and committees and commissions and folks like yourselves. And we've had numerous studies on traffic, economics, passing, a lot of discussions with local stakeholders, the large property owners, the small property owners who shared with us what their problems are, what their vision for the area is. And so it's just really been a great process that now as we get towards the end, very proud of, especially given the major curveball that was thrown at us with the inability for us to meet face-to-face for quite a while. And I probably should thank our IT folks for always finding ways to allow the public to be involved with these meetings. So shown here is the current area that is known as the Orange Avenue overlay. So this would be our FLUM map, as we call it, our future land use map 24, but this is just showing the boundaries. This would be in the document that heads up north to Tallahassee. And then this is the FLUM area, which is the sub area map, which shows the different sub areas. And then we have the text that applies to each of those. So wanted to just remind the PNZ board that the discussions we've had this far is that the concentration should be on getting the comp plan element approved and or action taken on the comp plan element and have that sent up to Tallahassee, because it has a lengthy process of being reviewed by state agencies. It goes through the Department of Economic Opportunity. But during that time, then it allows us to take a little bit more of a deep dive into the elements of the land development code, which actually guide the development, have the architectural standards, and get into quite a lot more detail. And that is detail that DEO is doesn't need and doesn't really care about. They just look at the big numbers of density and traffic and that sort of thing. And this went up there once before with numbers that were significantly higher than what is being proposed for yourselves today. And it was shown to have no adverse impact on any roads or the environment or anything else. So I would take a guess that being much less of an impact and being much smaller, a lot less people and a lot less buildings, we would have a similar result. But throughout this process, you all asked that we kind of keep notes on some of the discussions that you had. And that's just so everyone didn't have to remember exactly what was written. And if there are changes that are discussed by yourselves, that we had a little bit of a cheat sheet for you all to be able to be used. What is being proposed in front of you tonight? I'm going to skip. I should have had this at the beginning. My apologies. You only need to take action on the comp plan portion of the OAO ordinances tonight. Then allow for public comment, both live and virtually. What is being proposed is the original version, no markups, no changes. That is the one that has been online since the notice has been in every home in Winter Park. It has remained the same, not marked up online. And that is the version dated August 2nd, 2021. Apologize for the typo there. So the board will have to make amendments to make motions, to make any amendments. You need a motion and a second, and we will do our best to keep track of those. If you need to use the kind of notes to create those motions, we would be happy to help with that. You need a second, and then we will have votes on the amendments first, and then a vote on the main motion, which is whether or not to recommend approval or denial of the comp plan amendment. I think I stated that correctly, Mr. City Attorney.
Well, one thing that we may consider is, since this has been workshopped a number of times and you have come up with at least a first draft of a red line, if you want to, if someone wants to move to approve or recommend the comp plan amendment subject to the changes articulated in the red line as the main motion, that would sort of circuit a lot of the other changes that you may want to make, and that way you won't have to repeat everything over, you know, through multiple motions. And then from that document, you can then make motions to amend. I think that would be quicker.
Okay.
So we can handle all the red lines as one package. We don't have to go through them one by one.
I will be taking you through them one by one. Just to show the public what those changes that have been discussed were. But I guess because it was publicly noticed in a part of the packet, Mr. Langley is saying that you can use that as a here is what we're doing, which is a very nice surprise for all of us who would be trying to scramble and take notes on what the amendments were.
Probably has a lot to do with the fact that Mr. Langley was put in charge of taking the notes.
No comment.
No comment, yeah.
Okay, well, if with your permission, I'm going to go through the changes that you all have discussed in your, as you've gone through, you've asked us to track changes. We've gone through it together and shown you on screen what we've done. And if that's okay with you, I will go through that. I'm not going to go through the entire document itself because it is a very, to explain the overlay would be a very lengthy process. And this information has been widely available for a number of years. So
can board members, as you present each red line chunk, can we just question you at that time?
You bet. It is your meeting to run. I'd
like to be able to just say, okay, we've agreed to that red line, move on.
Okay.
Or discuss and decide, add another 16 words.
You bet. Okay. We are happy to do that. And
whoops.
So
I asked the question. So you had, Franz, you had mentioned only taking the comp plan tonight. It looks like both the comp plan and the land development regulation ordinance are both on the agenda. So are you requesting the board to continue the land development regulation to a future meeting?
Yes, actually in the memo that was in front of you, based on the conversations that you had, because it was a part of the public notice, which really is more for the comp plan, but we are making significant changes to the land development code. Sounds like legally would be the right thing to do to continue that action on that particular ordinance to a date and time certain. If that's your next meeting, if that's whenever you choose for that to be, we'll need to make sure we cover that at the after, I guess it towards the end would be the time for that, Mr. Langley.
My suggestion is, if, and I know we've talked about this in workshops, that this concept of delaying the land development regulation ordinance, but you could go ahead and make that motion now to continue, postpone the land development regulation ordinance to a date and time certain. And then you can ask the audience if anyone has a comment on that issue, that the concept of postponement, and not get into the the substance of what's in that ordinance. That way we don't have folks commenting on that ordinance and taking up their 3 minutes on that when they can focus on the one that you're going to take action on tonight.
Thank you.
Ron, did you have a proposal for the date certain? Is
it the next that meeting? Would be the, if you're asking for an idea, I would think that would be the
next meeting of the
next meeting, PNZ, which would be
October 5th.
October 5th.
October 5th at 6 p.m. planned to be right here, but everything is subject to to change. So that would be October 5th, 6 p.m.
Okay, I will make a motion that the agenda topic to modify the land development code be continued until our regular meeting on 5 October. Get all of it? Is there a second?
I can second that.
Okay. Now, is there public comment?
Yeah, if the public wants to speak to the issue of the continuance, I would permit it if anyone wants to speak to that
issue. Right. Well, we have somebody.
Can you speak from the seat or do you want me to go to the podium?
Please, to the podium.
To the podium and make sure you state your name and address for the record. And there are speaker slips back there with the clerk. We can give you a pass if you'll fill one out afterwards. How about that?
Again, the subject matter that they're discussing is the continuance. If they have substantive comments about the ordinance, we probably should ask them to keep that for the public hearing that's coming up.
Good evening. My name is Robert Ahlberg. I have two addresses in Winter Park. One is a residential address and one is a business address. Which one is most relevant?
Probably residential.
My residential is 636 Dunblane Drive in Winter Park, 32792. And my business address is actually within this zone that we're having the meeting about, which is actually more important to me, at 1318 Palmetto Avenue, which is in the southwestern A zone, directly on Palmetto. So my question was for the gentleman given the presentation, you had said that that some of the stakeholders had stated problems with their vision of what's going on. I'm a little bit late to the party with this whole differential, but the building that I'm in at 1318 is a wonderful strip of Palmetto Avenue. And when I find that there may be development going on, it concerns me.
Of course.
Because I've rebuilt one of those buildings just when Mr. Trevelyan, God rest his soul, was my landlord. And so I'm trying to push for keeping the integrity of the street, the history of the street, and also to sort of speak for the small business owners all up and down that street that are, to be perfectly honest, concerned about what's going to happen to the land that their building is sitting on. I mean, some of those businesses have been there for a while, including mine. I mean, we have a yacht design company there that has a very familiar address, both online and with clients and customers. We don't really want to have to move our building or move our business as a result of a development plan that is for some other greater good than maintaining the integrity of Winter Park and that type of Winter Park feel. Because a lot of people come to Winter Park from around the world to our office, and they love it. They love the avenue, they love the streets, they love the charm. And with this, I feel unfamiliar, but I also am trying to get some sort of grip on what is the tone, what is the new feel for this area? What are we trying to develop? So. I apologize for being long-winded. The original question was, what did the original stakeholders, what problems did they have with the vision?
Brunts, are you going to respond? Or
I was getting a business card so this gentleman and I can have a conversation.
Okay.
Probably, yeah. Smarter.
So, Mr. Ahlberg, it sounds like us continuing this discussion another month would help you.
I hope so.
Give you more time to catch up.
I'm a little late to the party. I apologize for an irrelevant.
But I will tell you that the area of the Trevelyan track is not being affected by anything that I've seen so far in the OAO.
At one point, I had offered to buy the building that 1318 is located in, and Mr. Trevelyan had said, I'd love to sell it to you, but I built everything at the same time on this street because he developed the whole street. So the property lines are vague. Certainly the parking spaces and allowances are pretty much all over the place, so there wouldn't be a designated
piece of property
for me to buy. And that was the problem. And so I don't know if this development would establish property lines that can be bought and sold, or is it going to be developed as part of the same type of group?
Just as a point of clarification, this is kind of more of a vision for what could happen in this corridor, in this area. We're not talking about a very specific single developer or even a group or I think there is, you'll see in subsequent conversation, there's, I think, specific focus, at least from staff and others, on existing businesses and keeping those. So today we're talking kind of about policies, goals. It's a little bit squishy today, but we think staff has put together something that will allow for a quality of development consistent with what you've seen historically in Winter Park in some of the parcels that may wish to develop. But they're, you know, in your area, not that I'm not aware of anything that's happening that's a redevelopment or that's proposed. Not that it may be possible that someone's looking in that area, but just in general, we're trying to balance multiple desires in that area. One of them being preserving some of the smaller businesses that have grown up in those spaces. And well, we have a specific sub area for that.
Admittedly,
that kind of thing.
These are business owners. They're not owners of the property. They're not owners of the building, but they own businesses there. And I understand that, you know, you still have conversations with the landowner, and then the correct path would be for me to have a direct conversation, you know, with in my case, the Trevelyan family. So I understand that. So I just wanted to voice my concern.
Absolutely.
So,
okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Is there any further public comment against the motion to continue the land use discussion till our next PNC meeting?
We have no one registered to speak online, sir.
Okay. Can you call the roll, Kim? Thank you.
Pleasure. Blue button.
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers-Thomas?
Yes.
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good.
Where were we?
And just to ease anyone who is concerned about this overlay district making any changes, requiring anything of anyone, unless you are one of the property owners called out in area D, I or J, the larger property owners really have the ability certainly to grow a little bit, but they have the responsibility of doing some things that help out the smaller businesses, like in the Trevelyan area. I know there's just a number of buildings right next to each other. It's hard to tell when they start and stop, and
walking back there, I think somebody built a car in at one point. And but this doesn't change anything. This does not require anything. Everything is grandfathered in. It does not make any new rules. And quite honestly, Area A is the recipient of the most assistance. And as a part of this, effort, because those are the businesses that, for the most part, are on smaller pieces of property where there is not parking. There is, they were built years ago. And so I won't get too much on that soapbox, but it won't change anything or require anything of anyone. So with your permission, I was just going to go through your markups, if that's okay. So the first item was you pointing out that I called the comp plan the zoning code, and we fixed that there. And so unless anyone has a major problem with that one, I figured you'd be okay with the grammar fixed there. But you asked the next item, you asked to kind of give a little more, why are we doing this? And so was actually able to take some language from the original document that came out of the steering committee and remove the language that says the city shall establish an overlay district, and instead wrote, it is the intent of the Orange Avenue Overlay District, or the OAO, to provide enhanced standards to protect and promote the unique characteristics of the Orange Avenue area and create a distinct gateway into Winter Park. This OAO is used to create a sense of place established through specific architectural styles, streetscape design, open space areas, setbacks, site design and landscaping, and other regulatory controls. So I think from our discussion, that was preferable to just saying we shall make an overlay. So I'm happy to have any discussion on this particular item.
Got a lot of nods.
Okay. Going. And again, these are the goals and the policies that are in the comp plan portion that will be, that is required to be sent to Tallahassee. So any of, other than the first whereas, I think all the other changes are to parts of the meat of the document itself. One of the discussions we had was regarding a request. Let's see if this is going to work tonight. Nope, at least I put it in red. Was to add the area that is basically just to the north of Jewett. There were a couple of single family homes in the area. There's a small, I think it's all zoned R3 in there. But Jewett has bought a number of the properties for parking. There is an existing parking lot in there. There is a small multifamily development, but there were a couple of single family homes that were that we wanted to protect and not have those located within there. But since that time, we have been asked by the owner of those homes, who bought those with commercial interest in mind, to add those back into the overlay. And so we did have that discussion at the last meeting, and knowing that the small single family homes that are zoned R3 that we were trying to protect, are, they would like to be back in. They were in at one time. Happy to discuss that. And then on the next slide, I've got the sub area recommendation for that area.
Just for clarification, this area was already in a previous iteration.
Yes.
There was a maybe misunderstanding that there would be a desire to remove it, but then it was removed, the property owner noticed and asked to be back in. Is that essentially the, okay.
Yes.
Sure, they're paying attention.
And actually, I'm just going to go ahead and sneak ahead and show you here that at the top right, it is recommended to be subarea A. Just wanted to probably go ahead and have that conversation. So anything else on that item that I can clarify? Okay. The next one was a policy that you asked that we add, and does not have a number yet because we will be editing this before we send it off with which policies are which and numbering, but it states that policy 1-blank, the standards detailed in the OAO are the maximum density and intensity parameters potentially permitted in each respective subarea. These maximum standards are not an entitlement and are not achievable in all situations. Many factors may limit the achievable FAR, including limitations imposed by the maximum height, physical limitations imposed by property dimensions and natural features, as well as compliance with applicable code requirements, such as but not limited to parking setbacks, lot coverage, and design standards. And I think this is very appropriate language. We have something similar in the zoning code that says, here are the rules. Doesn't mean every single property is able to meet those rules. So I think this is a very appropriate piece of policy.
Still nodding.
Okay, we're nodding right along. We've already talked about the item in the top right there. So for subarea C, you want to just to be consistent, and instead of saying zero units per acre, it just simply says residential uses shall not be permitted, which is consistent with other language found in this document. And we were happy to make that change.
As long as you've brought up subarea C.
I figured now would be at the time to talk.
Which is Progress Point, which the commissioners have moved ahead to declare at least a portion of this to be a park. And they've had many discussions on this, and I don't feel that the numbers that we show here completely reflect where they are right now. And we've started getting emails that have sort of pointed this out. I'm kind of at a loss as to exactly how to bring this in line with what the commissioners want. We can either leave it as it is, figuring they're going to make the final red lines, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Or we start trying to read their minds and mark this up for them.
I think it is the responsibility of yourselves not to try to do the bidding of what you think the commission wants, because what they're talking about are policy decisions that are not really directly related to specifically the comprehensive plan. They are in reference to park design, the potential for what uses should be on there if there is a small mixed use element. The parking, we kept the parking structures separate. There is still support for a potential parking garage. Mm-hmm. But this, the unique part about this is, regardless of what this says, what numbers are up there, there are a group of five people who can decide what happens with every blade of grass on that particular piece of property. And so this is a very important piece of property that, separately, we're working on a really exciting park project. Our parks team and our urban forestry team and others are working on that. but that is separate from this decision before you tonight of what is the maximum floor area ratio, height, and that sort of thing. So just I would advise not confusing the two, I guess, but
got nods and thumbs on that. So we will move on. Thank you.
So keep as is what it was. Okay. That was way easier than I thought it was going to be. So sub area D, the discussion that was had was to increase the maximum achievable floor area ratio to 125% from 60. Again, that is not given. That has to be earned through utilizing our development enhancement menu, doing some things that that improve our parks, improve multimodal transportation, just a lot of different things. And then there was discussion early on about going up to 25 units per acre. And then after discussion, you all decided to that maybe that was going to be excessive. And but you liked the idea of creating opportunities for workforce housing, real opportunities for workforce housing, which, you know, when you say workforce housing, that's people, you know, that's our police officers, that's people who work in our hospitals here, who that may be a teacher or something like that. It is it's a number that is created by Orange County, which is says it has to be 120%. The units have to be 120% above the median area, and the incomes have to be 120% of the median household income. So a lot of people think this is low income housing, that sort of thing. It's the opposite. It is true workforce available housing. And so you all decided that 10% didn't really do much for you because we don't use fractional units, but you stated that up to a 20% residential density increase for workforce housing, and that would have to be part of a development agreement that, you know, deed restrictions that those units would be kept as workforce housing for usually there's a certain number of years attached to those. So you thought that 20% would be a better number that may get a little more traction. Okay, sounds like everyone's still happy.
Help with new words, so we'll move on.
Sub area I, that is the Bank of the Ozarks property. The maximum achievable floor area of 125%, maximum height of 3 stories. Once again, this is something that where the density was considered to be at 25% was taken back down to 17. But the same language of the 20% workforce housing availability was added to that.
Real quick, just for the purpose of public knowledge, can you talk through how parking garages work in this FAR calculation?
You bet.
Where the FAR was originally and then kind of how it's evolved over time?
You bet. Oh boy, should I go through the whole history of FAR?
Cliff notes. Cliff notes.
So the
remember your setback.
Parking garages are counted towards the floor area ratio in Winter Park. We're very unique in that we do count parking garage floor area ratio, but the result of that is smaller buildings. But with these larger properties, the intent was to allow for more floor area ratio because they would need to build parking. And actually we would require them to build extra parking. And then they have to lease that parking to other, you know, provide for themselves, take care of their own parking plan, but then lease the excess parking to area businesses, those A properties, say we're talking some of the Trevilian businesses or someone who wants to convert an insurance office to a sub shop. If they can find available parking within 750 feet, then it creates new opportunities for those. So though it was not included in earlier versions, and there have been times in Winter Park when it wasn't included in some of the bigger garages, and but it does count here. But the excess that is created, the percentage above and beyond what is required to meet the needs of the development program, does not count towards the floor area ratio, and also it allows them to earn some bonus, if you will, additional FAR. And also we have in a future slide that the parking that is required for the workforce housing does not count towards the floor area ratio. And that was a way to really not just say we like workforce housing, but a way to make it a little more economically feasible, I guess, for a potential developer. Is that Cliff Notes enough, or I can go deeper? You just say the word. Okay, good. All right.
Yes.
This is subarea J. Same thing as subarea D, starts at 60%. This is the just what is known as the Holler property at the southeast corner of Denning and Fairbanks. Maximum achievable FAR of 125% instead of 100. I apologize, I'm missing a strike through there. Nothing else changed there except to reduce the density back to 17 units per acre. And then the language added that allows the 20% residential for workforce housing. And I would say that as we get into the zoning code portion, you will see that each of these properties has unique rules, regulations, setbacks that make sure they don't dominate the streetscape. You know, a lot of people point to our northern neighbors and say, we don't want that to dominate, even though some of the buildings may be taller and more massive. There are ways that we can make sure that they don't ruin the charming character of Winter Park.
So just to clarify, this used to say subarea J, item B, maximum floor area ratio was 100%. We struck that, put in 125.
Yes. My apologies just for the record. That. Yes. And that would be part of what we would have in our red lines.
Okay. Please move on.
Can I still blame that one on Allison? Is that no? I thought I got at least 6 months, but all right, fine. sorry, the next one is a bit of a long slide. We talked about meaningful open space, and as this is really policy, you said this is nice and pretty language, but this maybe isn't policy, so why don't you add language in there that is policy? So we said at a minimum, each property 2 acres in size and above, or any project covering 2 acres that is redeveloped, shall provide a minimum 25% of meaningful open space, which is open and available to the public. At least 50% of the required meaningful open space shall be green space, and at least 50% of the hardscape areas shall be pervious or semi-pervious. Basically, the intent here was, you know, some people say, well, an apartment complex, they have plants on the outside, but all the good stuff is in the middle, the nice amenities. This puts that on the outside, and this makes the place that we're talking about. And we've got some really great examples of some small areas of open space that are heavily used. The best example that I've used from the beginning of this is the green space outside of Foxtail. There are people there from all walks of life, all day, every day, strangers, people working on the next great American novel, people walking their dogs, going to have a coffee. Then there used to be a brewstillery there where then there would be outdoor Jenga and cornhole and that sort of things. But it's just, it's this small area that is used so much by so many people. And that's just a great example of good, meaningful open space. And then we kept at least 90% of the open space shall be provided at ground level, because there is the opportunity for rooftop space to be open if it were to be as a part of the development agreement that and deed restricted that the public is allowed to be in those certain areas. That was just if somebody had a building that was had a beautiful view and wanted to make that part of their open space where the public could go up there. That was where that came from. Good.
But he's good with that.
Okay. This was a policy that talked about the parallel Orange Avenue access where Palmetto Drive is going to remain. It is going to not going to change in front of the Trevilian properties, and there are some other offices in there. The streetscape may change a little bit as we try to accommodate bike lanes in there. And in the future, whoever, if somebody were to say, you know, want to redevelop the Trevilian properties into townhomes or something, we would try to get an easement along the backside, along the rail, in order to put a bike trail back there. But right now, we really want it to serve more of a purpose as the parallel road. And we have Harmon, which right now exits at a very awkward stop sign with the bump out into a very scary intersection. And discussions with FDOT, they would like to see that area closed and instead have Palmetto, the discussions we've had is have Palmetto actually extend, get rid of Harmon itself and have Palmetto then head close to the railroad tracks, which is, then it wouldn't divide a piece of property, and then have a right in, right out only. That would make that street a little more usable and active. And the thought was that is not policy, that is really code language, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Does exist now in the draft land use.
Yes, sir.
So we didn't need it here as well.
Yes, sir. And we are already working on making it a reality. I've already spoken with one of the major landowners about going ahead and starting to survey the area so that maybe we can work out a swap, because having a piece of property that goes right down, or a road that goes right down the middle of your property, having that gone and then you getting the property and then dedicating right of way next to the railroad tracks, which is probably your least valuable, might be a pretty good deal. So we'll keep working on that.
Good. Anybody,
oops, sorry,
feel this is okay? Everybody's with you.
Okay. The next one was we talked about the a mobility fee that it was very strongly advocated for by the commission. Specifically, Commissioner Cooper has been pushing for a transportation impact fee, multimodal fee, mobility fee. It's called different things in different jurisdictions, but we're one of the few jurisdictions that don't have one. There was a discussion about having one just for Orange Avenue, but really we can do the same work in the same amount of time to create one citywide. That process is underway. We have already, we have a consultant on board. We have our city attorneys, and we've already created a guide for creating an impact fee. And so we didn't want to say somebody would be subject retroactively to a fee that doesn't currently exist. So we just cleaned up this language to say, City of Winter Park intent to create a transportation and mobility fee. We got rid of a lot of language. And then at the end, it says, in the event the city establishes a mobility fee, road impact fee, special assessment, or other funding mechanism, a project's payment of such required fee may be applied towards the requirements of this policy. So if you have already been permitted prior to the adoption of some sort of impact fee, we can't go back and ask for their contribution. But if you, yes, sir.
I think this language needs to be revised slightly, because it right now, the way it reads, it's kind of trying to use the title in the sentence. And I think it just needs to stand alone to say something like, is the intent of the city to establish a mobility fee or other funding mechanism requiring development projects to make a contribution towards the design, engineering, permitting, and construction of transportation and mobility projects? I think that would just, I think that was the intent.
Okay.
Because right now, we're just in the event we establish a fee, and the payment of the fee may be applied towards the requirements of this policy, but there's nothing else in this that's stated in this policy other than that sentence after you strike the first two sentences. So I don't think it works on its own without rewording it slightly, if that makes sense.
So might I suggest that as we continue, our wonderful attorney create some language for consideration of a modification to the language.
Let me just do it now.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're okay with this, it is the intent of the city to establish a mobility fee or other funding mechanism requiring development projects to make a contribution towards the design, engineering, permitting, and construction of transportation and mobility projects.
Good. Okay. That would be the lead sentence.
Yeah, that's the only sentence. Actually, only sentence.
So that would be the only sentence, and you'd strike the one that we've.
Yeah, the other sentences in your workshops you're striking. So right now, that sentence is relying on sentences that are stricken.
Right.
So it doesn't make sense on its own right now.
Right, I see that now.
Would the title still be good?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so we'd have the same title and then the language as called out by the city attorney.
Everybody okay with it?
Aren't you taking out in the title the transportation and language just to create a mobility fee?
The title would be the same. City of Winter Park intent to create a transportation and mobility fee.
Are you going to name this fee transportation and mobility, or just mobility?
Multimodal impact fee is the buzzword around these hallways right now.
So we want to try to make the language consistent with what you're going to call it. I think that might be your concern, right? That it's kind of inconsistent with
Correct.
Different terminology.
So really there are two types of fees statutorily. and it is either a transportation impact fee or a mobility impact fee. Each has unique characteristics, and I believe transportation fee has had more legal challenge. Is that correct? Am I getting that correct, Dan?
Well, different jurisdictions call these things different things. It just matters on how you implement it and how you define it in the code. You can call it different things, but as long as the funding mechanism was studied and in the correct manner and adopted, it's fine. But I think just if you can key to the terminology you intend to use and just tell them what that is, we could just incorporate it into this language. And then when I said, or other funding mechanism in the sentence I gave you, it gives flexibility to the city to change the name of it.
So would, could I make a suggestion that this policy say City of Winter Park could intend to create a multimodal impact fee, or we could say, or
why don't you just type? Say multimodal impact fee as the title.
Okay.
And then Dan's first sentence says the City of Winter Park intends to yada, 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 yada.
I like it even better.
Got your multimodal word in there.
It's official now. It's not just a whisper in the hallways. It's gone public.
Policy.
It's not a secret anymore, Sarah. No.
Dan, did you get all that? Since
do we need to restate?
You're the secretary too.
Yeah, so the policy would be multimodal fee as the title.
Multimodal impact fee.
You want to put the word impact in the impact in the.
I believe title? So. Yes, okay. Sir.
Multimodal impact fee.
And has more impact.
More impact is the word impact. Okay, so it is the intent of the city to establish a multimodal impact fee or other funding mechanism requiring development projects to make a contribution towards the cost of design, engineering, permitting, and construction of transportation and mobility projects.
So because we do not have a main motion right now, we would want to discuss this or make sure to bring this up as a motion to amend the main motion, whether it be to approve or
should we just do that now? Can we make a motion?
You would need to make the main motion first.
And then amend the
motion. And then this would be a motion to amend. So you can or you can.
I'd wait on motions until we hear from the public.
Thank you. That makes sense. There goes one of the public now.
There, it's must-see TV racing to get home to watch. Okay, so I think I'm seeing everyone is good with the language created by Mr. Langley. Appreciate it. The next one was getting rid of the appearance review. This was already created by the commission. The actual Orange Avenue Overlay Appearance Review Committee. It exists. It just has not been staffed yet because we don't have an Orange Avenue overlay yet, and it is also in the land development code document. Then we have the policy for conditional uses. The reason why we have this is conditional use by itself typically only has or not typically it only has one public hearing because it is not an ordinance. It is often paired with a major project that rezones a piece of property, amends the land use plan, and has a conditional use. So it's rare to have those stand alone, but we are creating Because we are changing the comp plan and the zoning for this entire district, we're creating the opportunity for more conditional uses that would only have one hearing. And so the discussion was to change it to say public hearings for conditional uses prior to approval. There shall be an advertised public hearing before the local planning agency, planning and zoning board, didn't want you all to feel left out. And at least two public hearings conducted before the city commission and citywide notice given for a conditional use application for a project within the OAO that has one, a land area of more than 80,000 square feet, two, a building of more than 35,000 square feet, or three, more than 25,000 residential units. For new construction projects between 10,000 square feet and 35,000 square feet requiring conditional use approval and notice as defined in the code, there shall be at least one public hearing before the local planning agency and two public hearings before the city commission.
So just for clarity, item three is 25 residential units, not 25,000.
You snuck a few thousand extra residential units into your reading. It's not in the words. You just read it as 25,000.
Okay. No. No. I don't want to be... that's how rumors get started. So
going
to
have a lot of no density.
I propose no. Nothing more than what is written here. Thank you.
Okay. We're okay.
Very good. Floor ratio for parking structures. It says the same thing, that it counts except for anything underground or the top level. The required 10% above is doesn't count towards the FAR. That's the percentage that has to be leased to the area businesses. And then we added at the end, for any units that meet the workforce housing criteria, the required parking spaces shall be exempt from counting towards the floor area ratio. That was the discussion, I think, at the last meeting of really making this a reality. So if there's no discussion on that, I'll move to the next one. Block structure. It's a bit of a hybrid between policy and code, but we revised it to say any additional development or redevelopment of parcels in excess of 2 acres within the OAO shall be required to create a block structure and pedestrian corridors conducive to pedestrian safety, comfort, and vehicular circulation. The point of an overlay is to kind of set general parameters, but let the creative designers do their thing. And I think this is very good policy.
Okay. We're still with you.
All right. That was it. So again, you only need to take action on the comp plan because you have already decided to continue the land development code hearing to a date certain. I'm guessing we'll be having a lot more work sessions this month.
We just love the food.
Yes. So you would need to, after hearing from the public, make a main motion to approve, and then you can make any amendments that you feel are appropriate. We know we have one amendment that Mr. Langley will probably read one more time just for the record. And then we will, I would ask that you open the public hearing portion of the meeting to allow people both in the audience and virtually to speak, and ask again that people stay on the topic and make sure to state their name and address for the record. We will have the 3-minute timer ready to go. And
what I'm going to do is call for a 5-minute recess. prior to public comment.
Okay, very good, sir.
Give them a chance to chew on all these reds.
You got it.
Thank you.
almost there.
Okay, we're going to now open it up to public comment.
Chairman James, we have one person registered to speak online, and I think we might have more people in the audience tonight, even though that's very few. Should we take the one person that's been waiting online? Or do you want to do in person?
Let's take our virtual one.
Okay. And that's going to be Mr. Michael Perlman. And he should be unmuted.
Good evening. Mr. Chairman, members of the P&Z Board, thank you for the opportunity today to talk about what I think is an important issue for Winter Park. I think that, my name is Michael Perelman. I live at 1010 Greentree Drive. I think that the vast majority of the Orange Avenue overlay I support as a development opportunity for the city, particularly along the roads that are involved. What I would like to do, however, is focus my discussion on sub-area C, Progress Point. For transparency, I should say to you that I communicated a number of my views to the board chair yesterday, today, and also I believe that that communication has been shared with the board members. What I would like to say is that I disagree with the staff guidance that was provided earlier this evening, which said that the commission should decide how to handle Progress Point. To me, that is an abrogation of the responsibilities put on the board, which is to provide a recommendation to the commission. That recommendation would be based on your own thoughts, but also particularly public input. And I would remind you that a petition signed by over 500 residents was presented to the commission the push for an increased green space in the Progress Point area. And I think that should also note that while I don't think you should try and guess what the commission thinks or doesn't think, there was a change in perspective by the commission in which they pulled back on issuing requests for planning, which would allow for a greater greening of this area of Winter Park. The present document envisages a building on this space of over 30,000 square feet as a footprint. It allows for a second story and a rooftop space. To my mind, this would overwhelm the proposed park and run against the publicly demonstrated desires for this area. And I don't see that there's an urgency to start allowing more building at this point. If the world changes, then there can be a future amendment. I would encourage the board to restrict allowable building in the space to that required to provide bathrooms, which would maximize the potential green space and public usability. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Perlman.
Dr. James, that will conclude. We don't have anybody else registered to speak online for the online portion.
Thank you, Kim. Ma'am. Yes.
Hi, my name is Tracy Cumming Florio. I live at 1250 South Denning Drive, and I'm not really sure if this is the right time for this, if it's this meeting or the next meeting, but I have several questions, and so I just want to put it out there. And it has to do with the development. I'm kind of behind the eight ball as well. I've been looking at this for about a year and then got this notice about 30 days ago. So I'm just going to ask the questions. I don't really expect an answer. I just kind of want to put it out there. Number one, will wider sidewalks be part of this plan? A bike route, Denning to Barnum is part of the city bike route that goes from the urban trail down and will eventually connect with Katy Way. Will there be central parking garage area? Is this going to be pedestrian friendly? Are you going to have sidewalks that are wide enough for pedestrians and cyclists to share? And again, where is the green space besides that little teeny weeny H that's in the corner? I'm sure this has been considered, but my question is, has it been considered? How will traffic be routed? I walk or try and ride my bike to work, and it at 6:30 in the morning, it's a nightmare. Is there a plan for the pedestrian safety lights to be fixed, changed, made so that you can safely cross the street at Orange at that intersection, the Orange, Minnesota and Denning? What type of businesses are tagged for this project? There's several businesses that are already there, and what's going to happen to them? I know you answered some of these things. I wrote these questions earlier. And then I guess we don't have an estimate in time as to when this is going project is going to start. But these are just some of the questions that I have. And I'm especially concerned with the pedestrian safety and the number of cars and the impact that's going to have on that area. Because there's a lot. Thanks. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Next person we have is Mr. Tripp Cheek.
Thank you. Is the mic? Hi, the mic's on. There we go.
It works.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and board members. My name is Tripp Cheek. I'm a lawyer at the Winderweedle Haynes Warden Woodman Law Firm. My address is 329 Park Avenue North, Winter Park. I am here tonight representing a stakeholder in the Orange Avenue Overlay District area, namely Winter Park Station Tower LLC, WP Station Tower LLC, WP Station LLC, Wintergate LLC, and Palmetto Building 2019 LLC. And those are properties that are owned by my client, Ms. Dimitri. On behalf of these property owners, I would like to say that we have a general objection to the revised Orange Avenue overlay. We think that the development restrictions contained therein in the overlay as we understood it going into tonight unnecessarily burden the property owners and do not permit the development of commercially reasonable and economically feasible projects. That is to say, it sounds nice, but nobody's going to do anything unless it makes economic sense. And we think that the restrictions are such that that's not feasible. My second point is that, as you may or may not know, there is ongoing litigation regarding the property owner's rights under the original Orange Avenue overlay that remains pending and it's not been resolved. And I would say we reserve all our rights, and we're not going to here tonight to make litigation related objections, but we would reserve all those. We have reached out to the city and I have only recently gotten involved, and we have suggested that we try to get together to figure out the impacts and possible positive resolutions to this. And so I hope we have a chance to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chief.
Next, we have Mr. Frank Hamner, and we just had one more person register online to speak, sir.
Good evening, Frank Hamner, 405 Balmoral Road. I represent the Holler family, and we are significant owners. We're the sole owner of the J property, most of the B properties, and a significant number of the A properties through various entities. I guess, fortunately or unfortunately, I've been here since the start of this process. I said years ago on the record, and it is years ago now, it's probably 4 years, if you like the way Fairbanks and Orange Avenue looks, right, pass something less than what was unanimously agreed to. And if you pass this OAO light, right, take a snapshot of how Orange Avenue and Fairbanks looks today, and it will still be the same years from now. Progress Point hasn't changed in 16 years, right? I think it's longer than that now. 4 years have gone by while we've rejected a plan that was unanimously approved by a steering committee. I haven't seen anybody's team work harder than your city attorney and your staff to come up with a proposal that had universal buy-in from the city, its residents. Sally Flynn agreed to the Orange Avenue overlay, right? Here we are 4 years later, nothing. Nothing. What we have in the city is more fast food restaurants. We have more bank drive-throughs, and that's all you're going to get because this proposal is really not designed to promote development. It's not designed to promote improvement. It's not designed to improve problems. It's designed to just put a bookmark on it so the city commission can say, we did something, right? But nothing's going to happen. I echo Mr. Tripp's Cheek's remarks and join in those. We do have significant objections to it. There is litigation pending. I'm one of the counsel in that litigation, and I'm not here to make objections on those bases tonight, but we do object to this proposal. But I object more for the city of Winter Park. You have a few short-sighted individuals who just don't want things to change. They can't see the vision of a place like Tampa's Armature Works area, right, which has green space and larger buildings and is vibrant. Winter Springs, Winter Garden. They figured it out, right? They have, I mean, completely revamped their downtowns and their economic corridors and have made those places people from Winter Park go to now, okay? But we can't figure it out. And this doesn't figure it out. It doesn't solve those problems. You know, we walked away from something that had maximum buy-in because about 50 people decided they didn't like it. And it's just a tragedy for the city. The other thing I would say is you need to pick a number on the residential units, because if you're only going to allow 17 and a 20% increase, perhaps that gets you to 20.4 units. I'm going to have a hard time finding somebody to build me 0.4 units. So might be better to pick 20 or 21 rather than a percentage. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hamner.
And the last person we have registered to speak at this time would be Ms. Beth Hall, and she is unmuted. Oh, she appears to be self-muted. There she is.
Hopefully now I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Terrific. Beth Hall, 516 Sylvan Drive. I don't have comments except to say thank you so much for the hard work that you are putting in on devising this overlay. That goes for our planning director, our planning staff, and all of the PNC members. I think this product shows the dedication and hard work of so many people, and I thank you. I do have a couple of questions, and maybe in your discussion you could address it. I noticed that from the original overlay, only properties of 2 acres have to meet the green space requirement of 25%, as opposed to the original number, which was 1.5 acres. What I don't know, and maybe you do, is are there properties that are 1.5 acres, or are we really talking there weren't any 1.5 acre properties, so 2.0 is really more realistic. So that's one of my questions. I'd like to see more green space than less. And then second of all, I noticed that the maximum FAR on several parcels was taken from 100% to 125. And I'd like to hear your discussion, and I apologize, I missed the last work session that you had, and it may have been discussed there. Was your thinking that you needed to go to 125 if you were serious about encouraging the workforce housing, or did it have to do with the additional parking that could be provided if you nudged the FAR up by 25%? So those are just questions. Again, mainly I say thank you, and I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hall.
We have no one else registered to speak.
Okay, we'll close public comments. Now it's just us. Anybody have anything they want to open with?
I did have one question for staff. Moving forward, particularly as we get into the code, I think we're going to continue to hear transportation questions, traffic questions. Would it be possible for staff to provide a very short presentation regarding separate but related to this area transportation projects that are not in the code but ongoing for this area, so that there's kind of clarity of what we're addressing in the code and things that are, I would say, capital projects, or I'm sure you guys have a bike master plan, trails master plan, that kind of thing.
No, we have one that was accepted, not adopted. So it's lacking in teeth. I've used it to try to fight to get easement, and we got a little bit, but it was pretty tough. So we are creating a transportation master plan with the intent of it being adopted. So it does have teeth. But as a part of the budget this year, there is funding for projects. We have early conceptuals of Orange Avenue, but they're not at all what, in the first study we did, they're not at all what I would ever be in favor of. And we are looking at dieting Orange the same way that that DOT is doing on the west side of Orlando Avenue. They are dieting that down to one lane in each direction with a center turn lane, adding some bike lanes, and then it goes down to a roundabout with very unique geometry down there. It would make sense for us to do the same thing. We've shown that that you can handle the same amount of traffic. You know, you're only as good as your intersections. And unfortunately, we've got one of the worst intersections around at Orange and Denning in Minnesota. But we'll be studying that this year and then creating a kind of a 30% plan. We want to have kind of a bit of a war chest of plans out there so that we can work to try to get funding for the transportation element. But yeah, there's more of a multimodal aspect, and then there's what we would like to see, but those decisions are still a little bit far off, I guess you would say. But
yeah, I guess I would just ask that as the code comes back, that there be a page, it's not code items, but just an FYI checklist of just transportation things that are ongoing. Cause I think we're going to continue to hear questions about traffic, and obviously there's wider sidewalk proposed in the code and things like that. But
yes,
that's just, I noticed that there was a few comments from multiple.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, regarding that,
it may be a bit of a wish list from staff, but it's, but we've studied this thing front, back, side to side, and know what improvements would make this a safer road, because something that gets forgotten is this is the least safe road in town per linear foot. It has more crashes. It's not safe to cross. It's tough to be a pedestrian. You're braver than me if you're on a bike, and it's not safe to even park your car. So definitely room for improvement, let's just say. So sure, we can definitely do that. Glad to have that conversation. Sarah do it so it'll be quicker and more concise.
Is there a I know this is a little bit into the code, but there was a discussion or a question about open space. Is there an impervious pervious ratio that's required of all properties in the overlay?
So right now we don't have any open space requirements in the city, except for we have pervious versus non-pervious. We require that 15% of your site be pervious, which means you get parking lot islands, a little bit of landscape out front, and maybe a retention pond somewhere, but nothing what we would call meaningful open space. This is our foray into saying open space should be a part of our DNA. It already is a part of our DNA, but we should make the commercial elements have that be a part of their DNA. But that's the area that normally you would have as a parking lot. So we've got to allow for vertical parking if we want to be able to have a quarter of somebody's property be dedicated towards open space. We do have in there the 25% requirement. I believe it was at 1.5. There was a request from the commission to put it to 2. And it hits all the major large properties, which was the intent. And then obviously won't get deep into area C, but stand by our recommendation that we keep policy, you know, park decisions, RFPs, those sort of things. Those are commission decisions, not anything that we would bring before the planning and zoning board. And I should tell you that staff does recommend approval. I forgot the best part. Recommend approval of the ordinances to create the Orange Avenue Overlay District and amend the comprehensive plan to reflect the language of the Orange Avenue Overlay District with the changes as outlined by the Planning and Zoning Board. Didn't want to miss my chance to get that one in there.
I guess a question in the board would be, do we want to address the subarea C FAR?
There's not been any consensus. I think it's very close, but to my knowledge, there has not been a vote on exactly what that FAR should be. And it is related to an RFP. Which my advice is that is the purview of the city commission, not of yourselves. If you feel that 20% is too high, certainly you have the ability to make any recommendation you would like. We have a separate FAR for the parking structure that may or may not occur. As of right now, it is not occurring. So,
right. For clarification, it's my understanding that the net density and intensity for that site has been reduced subject to what it is today. Is that correct? The FAR used to be 60%, now correct. It's 20.
Right now it's zoned office.
The density is 17 units an acre.
Mm-hmm.
However, if someone was to decide to come in and was awarded the RFP, which I assume would be a public process, mm-hmm. if they did anything above 10,000 square feet, regardless, they would still be a conditional use, assuming that wasn't previously addressed in the RFP. So they would still have to come back to the council to exceed 10,000 square feet regardless. And they would come to us too, right?
The RFP itself and the requirements, including your financials, it's not just your design and some pretty pictures. It is quite a bit more in depth of what is required, and then it defines different levels of responsibilities. And right now, the commission chose not to move forward with an RFP of any type. We have a bit of a guide that was created by ACI as a part of their contract. So if the commission ever decides to go out for an RFP, they will make the decision at that time what they would accept on the property. But right now they've chosen not to. But if they have a certain exact square footage, I know what range they're in, but because there's not been any vote of this is the exact number, I would be uncomfortable telling you exactly what number that would be, quite honestly.
Like we just leave it alone.
I don't see any of my board members jumping up and down and deciding we need to change anything. So, okay, thank you. Dan.
If you're ready to proceed, and I think I understand where you're going because we workshopped this when we had a discussion tonight, I can state a proposed motion just to wrap it all up in one motion for everybody, if you'd like me to do that.
Yes.
Yes.
Is now the time?
Now's the time.
Okay. If you agree and you're a board member, you want to make this motion, just say, you know, what he said or something like that as your motion. I move to recommend approval of the Orange Avenue Overlay Comprehensive Plan Amendment Ordinance, subject to the revision set forth in the red line of the ordinance contained in the agenda package, with the additional change to the multimodal impact fee policy to be restated as follows. Policy titled Multimodal Impact Fee. It is the intent of the city to establish a multimodal impact fee or other funding mechanism requiring development projects to make a contribution towards the cost of design, engineering, permitting, and construction of transportation and mobility projects.
I move to make a motion as the attorney stated.
Is there a second?
I was going to say ditto, but I don't know.
I'll second it.
Pam?
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers-Thomas?
Yes.
Ms. Sarkeesian?
Yes.
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Is that a celebration?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Moving right along.
So, congratulations to Planning and Zoning Board and everyone who's been a part of this process. This was a day that I know a lot of folks have been working very hard towards. So, thanks to each of you for your part in this.
Well, it looks like we need to plan a few work sessions in September.
Yes, sir.
To get ourselves organized enough to do this again next month with the detailed land use.
So as it stands right now, I think all of our work sessions are required to be virtual. I will get further clarification on that, but I think that any quasi-judicial board, such as yourselves, that has to meet live is doing so, but anyone who is an advisory board or is not involved in a regular meeting where action is taking place, those meetings are virtual. So you'll probably be getting something from Mary, creating a couple of, we can do a doodle poll where everybody kind of states and times, but I think we have our first one planned ready for maybe next week. Oh, I'm sorry. It is planned for the end of the month, as it typically
is. Yeah, there's only one planned, and it's the regular
28th. So yeah, we will probably try to stack a couple more inside of those.
Thank you.
And happy to meet individually with anyone virtually or however to have any discussions on any of the items. It's what I did last time to because sometimes there's some pretty heavy topics that require some mm-hmm. discussion on how somebody got there.
There are no more board comments, opinions, recommendations. Staff doesn't have anything more to say.
Oh,
then we're adjourned.
Very good. Thank you all.